Good morning. 00 hours. Mostly cloudy. 20 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 20 degrees.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey.
Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 17 degrees.
WHCPT.
Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 18 degrees.
KEA-TFM. Anybody up like me?
Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 20 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 20 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Cloudy. 19 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 22 degrees.
WHCPT. WHCPT. WHCPT.
Sorry, had the volume down a little too low. Who was that?
Captain Don, WHCPT. Was that John?
Good morning. On the way to breakfast, I assume?
Yes, sir. I am going to make it today. Woohoo!
Okay. Just clear out with the handy talking inside the car seal while getting into my repeater. Solid. I'm happy.
All right, you said the handy talkie?
Yeah, I was just testing the range on the. Got the repeater fixed. I'm not that far away, but this is something I couldn't have done a week ago.
Ah, okay, good deal, good deal.
So where are you right now?
I'm currently at 16 in Ryan, so I'll be there probably in about 5 minutes or so. Oh, wow, looks like there's a water break there. There's a bunch of water and ice on the road.
You're going to be there early. Okay, save some spots. Yeah, they're, routine seems to be coming earlier and earlier. Well, it used to be we met at around 9. No, it's like, if you're not there by 8:15, you're late.
Wow, I've been up since 5:30 p.m. last night, and I took my amateur extra exam at 9, and I've been up all night, so... Somebody said between 8 and 8:30, so I just figured I'd head there.
You took your exam, last night?
Yep. I did it online with a ham radio crash course. Got 45 out of 50.
Okay. That's, I think it's good enough to pass, so that's good. That's just a test. That's not the actual thing. As far as I know, they don't do the actual one online, right?
Oh, no, I'm extra. That was the actual online test. They do them online now.
No kidding. Okay. That must be relatively new, because I thought for sure you had to do it with the VG. Do you know when they started that?
Well, I've taken all three of mine online, and I got my tech in January of 2023. I'm assuming it probably moved forward online because of COVID in 2020, but yeah, there were four VEs on a Zoom call. They made me move my laptop, show it all around the room to make sure I had no cheating materials, and then they watch you while you take the test, and they grade it, and then they send it in. I guess if it would have been a week, not a Friday, it would go through this morning. But since it was Friday, it'll be with the FCC on Monday or Tuesday. They said.
Oh, that's I did not know that. Okay, I still don't know how they could actually prevent you from having on the screen the answers. How could they there's no way they can see what's on your screen unless you're sharing your screen, but you can be selective about that. So, that's fine. If it works, it works.
Oh, yeah. The whole time you're sharing your screen on the Zoom call. So, they're watching you on your video, and then you share your screen, and I'm pretty sure there's no good way to cheat, because they make you show your ears to make sure you don't have no earbuds in, and they're pretty thorough.
Yeah, it would be nice if you had more than one monitor, you could, in Zoom, you could tell it I wanted to share a window, or just one screen, and I don't think they'd even know you have more than one screen, so... interesting. Okay. They must have it figured out.
Yeah, about the only way. You got to share your whole screen. They make you close all your windows. They made me close my Telegram. They made me close some other things I had open on my screen. And then, the only way I could figure you could cheat at all is if you put little, small, skinny, sticky notes, all the way around your screen, because they don't actually look at your screen. What is that sound? I don't even know. But it'd be really hard to cheat. They can see everything. They're watching you, and they're watching your screen.
Yeah, I figure most people are going forward not gonna try to scam the system, so... You want to get it legitimately. So, very good. Well, congratulations, anyways.
Thank you. Oh, but it looks like I turned on 13 mile. Oops.
Yeah, I remember for the longest time, I just, I was a tech for a very long time. Actually, I started, my first license was novice, which was given by an extra. They allowed to do that with novice exams. And then I got a conditional check where you also never had to go down to the FCC. You just had to, again, got an extra good to you, which didn't have quite as many privileges as a full tech. I can't remember what the difference was. But then they changed the whole system, and they got grandfathered into a full tech. And then from there, they changed it again, and I got grandfathered into a general. So I became a general. I was general for a very long time. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to get the extra and study for it. Passed it on the first try. So that was over 10 years ago, I guess.
Ah, good deal. Yeah, yeah, they had all different levels, and then now they're down to three. Pretty cool. I pretty much, general is pretty much what everybody's talking on, I think, on HF and whatnot, but I figured Professor Don kept telling me, get your extra, you could do it. So it's kind of one of my things that I wanted to make sure I did it. And I actually only studied for a week. I used ham radio prep and studied for a week every day, and I started scoring over 90 most of the practice sets. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it before I forget it. W8CDB.
Okay. It's getting a little noisy here. I want to switch to the other one more. All right. I'm on the FBI now.
All right. Yeah, you're sounding good. It was getting a little noisy. I'm almost there, but I ain't never been here, so I think I might wait till I see somebody I know or something.
Oh, you haven't been to practice before? You're a newbie?
Yep, yeah, I kept trying to make it, but I'm normally a midnight shift guy, even though I'm retired, so I'm always too tired, and today I felt good, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to be here.
Okay, well, it's on the north side of the bowl. You'll see the bowling alley, it's right next to that, just the east of the Quinter.
Oh, no! Yep, there goes the restaurant. Captain Don's going to be there.
Hey, John, you got room in your trunk there for that power supply? I got it with me.
Yeah, I'm sure we can make it fit. No problem.
Yeah, we'll get about three of the guys to come out to help me lift it. Man, that sucker's heavy.
Ain't no Bofang power supply.
So, ABAPR. It's Kevin Don. First time for breakfast, great. Can't remember if I've met you before. I think at one of the Lark in the Parks or something last year, or maybe the year before. Oh, where'd you go?
I was ordering my coffee at Starbucks. Did you toss it to me?
Yeah, I was asking Don if I had physically met him before, but no answer.
Sorry. Now I was at the window talking to the barista. So if that was for me, I apologize. I'm going to need it again. Now I can hear, unless he comes and hands me my coffee. And starts talking right while you're talking.
Okay, I'm back on my repeater. How am I getting in? It's a little noisy on the receive end over here.
Yeah, it's spotty. There's spots where it's a little noisy, and then it comes in really good. You know, it's kind of like some places it's coming in really good, but you can go 10 feet down the road, and you'll see it dip real fast. So you're in the fringe area, or you know the end of the rope area, where you know any given point in space could be bad.
Yeah, okay. I was surprised. I thought it would be better right now. Oh, in this area.
I don't know. It seems. You ran down here to what 13 a mound for years. so you know you pretty much know how it works.
Yeah, I know it's kind of in a hole there too. Now I'm coming up 14 miles, 75, so it's getting better.
With the hand stocky in the car. Yeah, there you go. That's, well, okay, I'm impressed with that. Okay, how am I making it?
Solid.
All right, I'm sitting at the light on the Quinner, coming out of the mall area.
Yeah, that must be a little bit of a dead spot north of Big Beaver or whatever. Yeah, it's absolutely rock solid right now. I'm receiving in, basically, over here near 12 Mile. Yeah, weird. Probably a building in the way, or building or two.
Yep, more than likely. I know Don was down in Centerline at his mom's place, and he said he was impressed with how well it was working for him. He said he never switched off of it all the way down here and when he was at his mom's and all that stuff.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be there in just a couple minutes if I make this flight. See you there. If you just want to wait in the lot there, I'll do the transfer.
Oh, you're trying to get a better seat than me. Hold me up. I see how it works. All right, I am just getting ready to turn in. I'll find a spot and see you when you get here.
Yeah, I just heard Jack on the other band. He must be on his way. Yeah, I'm just coming off of I-75, so just be a minute or two.
Okay, I just parked. So we'll see you when you get here.
Okay. Be there shortly.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Cloudy. 22 degrees. Good morning, 1000 hours. Cloudy, 24 degrees.
Kilo Fox 8, Bravo Oscar Tango, I'll be monitoring.
WAVIJ for an audio check. Anyone out there?
Sounding good over here. Okay, I hate us.
Yeah, okay, I lowered this the microphone gain down to a medium. It's a Kenwood TMV 71 Alpha. So it sounds good. Name is Greg, Golf, Romeo Echo Golf. Back to you.
Very good. Name here is Dave, Delta Alpha Victor Echo, and I'm at the clear right now. I have a lot of conversation going on in the car, but I just want to let you know that you sounded good. I got you at about half volume on my radio and can hear you good. So I'll say 73 for now. We'll chat with you later. KFE does.
Okay, David, thank you very much and for coming back to me. I must have hit about 7 or 8 repeaters and nobody came back. That's the way it goes. Take care and drive motor safely. WEVIJ Waterford.
Well, forget about it.
Good morning, 1100 hours. Cloudy, 27 degrees.
W8CPP from W8FU. AD8OD from W8FU. W8CPT from W8FU.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Cloudy. 28 degrees.
KF8S in the mobile.
KC8YVF.
KC8YVF from KF8S. Good afternoon. I don't think I've talked to you before. Name here is Dave.
Name here is Ron, Romeo Oscar November. I'm up in Saginaw, Michigan.
Ah, very good. Yeah, Saginaw. Forgot we're all linked across the state. Or at least the eastern side of the state. How's the weather up there? Are you guys planning on getting snow?
From the last report from the weather service that I looked at this morning, maybe a half an inch, less than a half an inch during the afternoon, and maybe an inch later tonight. So relatively not much.
Yeah, we're probably going to get about a half an inch down here at the most. And we got ice everywhere. I had to put kitty litter on mine because it's new cement. They don't want you putting salt on it the first year, I guess. So I was surprised how well the kitty litter works.
Yeah, it usually works pretty well for that. You get the clay based stuff, then that works pretty good. If you get the clumping type of stuff, because I have cats, if you get the clumping stuff and it gets wet, it just turns into a soupy mess. So the old clay stuff works pretty good for that.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, I got the cheap stuff. You know, whatever the cheapest Meijer stuff was, that's what I got. So I think that's what the clay, it looks like if it gets wet, it just kind of like turns into a paste.
Yeah, pretty much most of the stuff that you get now is the clumping type of stuff, so that you can scoop it out of the litter pan for that. The clay stuff is a little harder to find now, and it probably would be more expensive because of that. But, yeah, as long as it worked, yeah, that'll help you. I know when we had a new driveway put in many years ago, that's what they said, too. So I try not to put down. If I do, for a little ice, I will get it off the driveway as soon as possible. As soon as it does its job, I will sweep it off the driveway so it causes less harm that way, I guess, at least to get it out of there.
Yep, yeah, I was kind of in a rush. We're having house guests over. My daughter, she just turned 13, so I got a teenager, so that'll be interesting. New step in life. there was just like ice, and I'm not even sure where it came from. I think it was, some of it was the gutter melt. I don't know. I'm gonna have to keep track of that and figure out a way to get the water from stopping going on the cement like that and freezing. So yeah, I just had to hurry up and put something down, and that worked well. So now people aren't slipping when, I mean, it was pretty bad. Like people were slipping on it, and stuff. Like I gotta get some, gotta put something down.
Yeah, the only other thing is to put some sand down and to get some grit to it as far as that, and that shouldn't harm the concrete either. So either one of those, clay sand or kind of a coarse grit clay sand would work too, and that's usually fairly cheap.
Very good. All right, I'm almost at my destination, just picking up Jimmy John's here. I thought I'd throw my call out, see if anybody was out there. We'll chat with you probably down the road sometime. So good talking to you, good meeting you, and I'll say 73, and I'll listen out for your final, KF8S.
All right, yeah, I got a friend of mine up here in Bay City that has basically the same call except for the last letter is F as in Foxtrot. So first I heard, I thought he was on the local repeater, and then I'm thinking, well, the tone was a little too short. It must be on the link frequency. The repeater I'm on is up in Burton, Michigan, which is in between Flint and Saginaw. The repeater actually sits just across the street from my daughter's house. I can look out her front window and look at the repeater. It's up, probably, the antenna's probably up a good 200 feet, maybe 250 on the tower. So it has some pretty good range, and it wasn't getting any use, so yeah, they linked it into it, so I use this repeater as part of the state net on Sundays at 5 p.m. They usually add this repeater into the HF state net, so stations that can't get in on the HF can possibly use one of the links, and it's just easier for me to do it that way. So, all right, safe travels out there. Have a good day. This is KC8YVF.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours, cloudy, 28 degrees.
Eric approves Bradfield tri-banding antenna. KAFC monitoring. If this thing's getting out. Can anyone hear this? KAFC. Saying again. Can anyone read me? Yes. Hear you. 73. No problem. Maybe it'll be clear. KAFC clear.
You know what I need to do?
Okay, I'll ask.
I'm glad you asked. I need to get like some ones and some fives and some tens and just kind of keep them tucked away somewhere. You know how many damn times you need $15 for something, you know, cash. Or like right now I need $5. I just bought something on Fitty's Place for $5. I've got hundreds, I've got 50s, I've got 20s. I ain't got no 5s. I even got 10s because I bought something today that required somebody breaking a 50. And they gave me 30 change. So I have a 10. But I ain't got no stinking 5s.
Well, it sounds to me like you need a little bit of flush money.
I don't know. I'm going to go see my favorite waitress, and I'm going to see if she'll break a 10 for me. If she won't, I'll stick my tongue out at her and figure it out from there. All right, I gotta run in here. I don't even know if they're still open. Good grief. All right, I'll be right back.
Okay, beep beep.
Well, Dawn wasn't there, but the other waitress hooked me up.
There you go. You couldn't have bought anything too exciting for $5.
Well, do you want the short story or the long story?
I'll let you choose.
So, I recently bought one of these diesel heaters, 5 kW diesel heaters, and there's a whole little not cottage industry, but there's a whole little, you know, like, there's YouTube videos, and people are modifying them, and all this stuff, and one of the things that's quite popular is to try to recapture a ton of heat that's being lost in the exhaust system. And one of the most clever ones and the nicest looking ones I've seen was somebody took an old electric radiator heater and they gutted it all and they run the exhaust into that and then on the other side of it they run that out finally out the door, you know, for the exhaust. And they transferred quite a bit of heat. It comes out of the exhaust, you know, at a couple of hundred degrees, and then the radiator heats up to about 100, 110, and then then the exhaust coming out after it goes through that, it's about, you know, 65 degrees, so it's like, it really is doing the job, and they're making these things incredibly, yeah, but who's got one of those laying around? If you got one laying around that you're not using, then fine, but I looked them online, you know, and they're like $50 to $100. Hell, that's more than I paid for the stupid diesel heater. So I'm just sitting there looking at the Facebook Marketplace and somebody says, $5, I want it gone. So I called them up and I sent them a message. I'll be right there.
Cloudy. 27 degrees.
Okay, now can I tell you the bad thing about cooling down the exhaust?
Well, you know, water condensation is an issue. If it gets carboned up or anything like that, it can cause some problems, but anything other than that?
Now, that's the difference between your furnaces in your house that are 80% and 93% and 97%, is they're capturing the exhaust heat and they're adding that into the regular heat. Well, the geeky term for it is condensating and non-condensating furnaces. Now, I'm talking house furnaces. So if you were to buy a new furnace for your house where you've got the PVC going out the side, okay, that's called a condensating furnace because it's getting cooled down so much and they're taking as much heat as they possibly can. It's making water. And that's why you have pumps on them and that's why they make a lot of water because you're cooling it down. But technically, a furnace has got to stay at least 80%. And the reason for that number is because it doesn't condensate. That being said, you got 80% of the fuel burning going towards, you know, the living space, 20% going up the chimney. And once you exceed that 20%, then you start having a problem. And that's what the difference is. So if you're capturing that, you're going to have to figure out a way to get rid of the water, and then you should be okay. Put some drains on the bottom, and then, you know, just let the drains go outside. But the new furnaces, to the 90 plusers, if they get any kind of restriction in them, so they monitor the pressure on the exhaust side of it, and let's say if it gets up, I don't know what the number is, but let's just say for instance, a quarter pound, the furnace on because it's considered an exhaust obstruction. And that's the reason why they're throwing so much heat outside the door. They're trying to keep the thing from condensating.
Right, yeah, and I watched a lot of guys that were monkeying around doing this, and some of the ideas they had were a real miss. They were filling up with water and causing all sorts of trouble and that. And the guy that did this one here, it worked pretty well. I still think there's going to be a water issue to contend with one way or the other. I was thinking petcock and periodically draining or something like that. I don't know. But that's why I didn't want to spend any money on one of these. And when this one popped up, this little radiator, you know, popped up for $5, I figured for $5, I'll play around.
Yeah, you know what I would do is I would put, like, a piece of brass pipe, okay, quarter inch or 3/8, you know, brass pipe on the bottom of that radiator so all the water falls to the bottom, and then just use the pressure, you know, of the exhaust to push it out. You'll have a little bit more loss, but you'll also still have a lot more efficiency because you're capturing that exhaust temperature.
Right. Well, we're well ahead of ourselves. You know, this is just I ordered one of these silly little heaters, and, you know, because, well, it was Ben, actually. I don't know what his call is over there, but over here, GIO, Ben, he's been monkeying with them lately. Sent me a link, and I got an itch, and so, and it came back in stock. I grabbed it, and man, that thing come like a Vivor. You ever hear of Vivor? I ordered it from them on Thursday, and it was in my hand on Friday. Unbelievable. And they're always out of stock, the little 5K ones for $89, but it came in stock, and I grabbed one. So now I'm going to putz with it. It's just, like I said, it's putzing. I don't have a specific place I need it right now, but I'm just gonna putz around. And this radiator thing, like I said, I was just thinking if one ever came up, you know, for cheap or free, I'd grab it. And just so happens the day after I got my heater, one popped up for $5. I don't know if I'm gonna get one any cheaper than that, so I'm grabbing it.
Yeah, just put a couple of drain holes on the bottom of the darn thing and let them go outside, you know, copper pipe or something like that, and that'll be your condensation thing, and, you know, then you'll be okay. And, you know, and the other thing, too, is, like, you know, they also know that they have to make everything consumer-proof, and, you know, with you monkeying and doing all the stuff that you're doing, there's really no reason to be consumer-proof because if things start building up or overheating, you know, or you start getting a headache or something like that, prickly diesel smell, you're going to smell that right away anyway. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't know, and that's why they do what they do with all the monitors. That's why a lot of contractors don't like these condensating furnaces is because there's so many safety devices on them, you know, or if the sump pump gets broken or gets some gunk in it or something of that nature, they need to be serviced, whereas you got the good old school furnace, you know, you just let it run and you don't have to deal with water and gunk and mold and everything else like that. So, but I don't know, you know, I guess it depends. Is it worth the extra, it's not really 20%, let's say, is it worth the extra 16%? You know, I guess that's your call.
Well, of course, like everything, the recovered, you know, heat claims is exaggerated. You know, you look at some of the claims these guys are making, they're getting more energy out of five, you know, out of a gallon of diesel than it's capable of, than it has on its own, I'm like, I'm kind of thinking there's something wrong there if you're getting more energy and more BTU out of a gallon of diesel than you would on the diesel itself. So you know, I think their calculations are a little off. But, the one guy that did this one, he says, you know, it's great, it's nice, you know, heat, you know, it's nice little radiated heat, you are recovering it. And he says, you know, you can throw, if nothing else, you can throw your gloves up on top of it or something like that. I don't know, you know, $5. So, it's an experiment. It's like Meshtastic.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting one of those things for my garage. So, I thought that would be kind of cool. And, fun fact, because the waste oil furnaces that we sell, diesel fuel, motor oil, all that other stuff, the most you're going to get out of a gallon, and I don't care what you do, is 140,000 BTUs of heat out of a gallon of fuel oil. And that's it. No more, no less. And just like you take any old furnace, you know, and you know how to make it 100% efficient, take the exhaust pipe off. And then that furnace is 100% efficient. Natural gas is about 99,000 per British thermal unit, blah, blah, blah. It's not as hot. Propane is close. Propane is like 138,000. Because they do all these calculations when they size these furnaces and all these customers this. So, you know, if you're burning a gallon of waste oil, 140,000 BTUs, the thing's running right, you're losing 20% of it, okay, and the math says you need this size furnace on and on and on and on. And, I mean, I don't know the engineering stuff of it, but I know the math part of it, and that's what it is. So they're not getting anything more than 140,000 BTUs out of a gallon, and if they were, they're on to something, and they could be making a lot of money.
Yeah, conservation of energy says they're full of shit when the guys claim that. There's some thermodynamic laws that are kind of like being broken there, dude. But, it's just fun. It's just playing around. So, you know, the other thing, too, I like about the diesel is, in small parts, you can also use it to get rid of your, spent oil from an oil change. You know, you can, if you dilute it sufficiently nice way to get rid of an oil change.
And KVP. You know, that's one of the products we sell. It's kind of lost its luster over the past, I'm going to say 5, 10 years, maybe 5 years. We sell waste oil furnaces, and if they go into these commercial dealerships, commercial garages that sell a lot of oil changes, things like that, they were real, real popular. But what's happening nowadays is all of these synthetic oils, they don't burn. So we're getting a lot of very unhappy customers because these new synthetics, you know, like what's in your car and my little car, you know, like 5W20 synthetic, okay? It's got a flash point of about 900 degrees, and you can't burn it. And in order to get it to burn in these furnaces, it has to get under 400 degrees. So they have to cut it with diesel fuel. Okay, so now you're spending twice as much for the furnace. You got to cut it with diesel fuel to get the flash point down, everything else like that. So we have a lot of customers that aren't even using these things anymore. But in their heyday, 90s, back in the 90s, 2000s, oh my gosh. I mean, we sold so many of these things, it was unbelievable. And those old school oils used to burn, baby, burn. But not anymore.
Well, it's always a problem, you know, is disposing of, you know, we don't do a lot of oil changes. My son in particular likes to do his own. You know, but then he always leaves a damn can by for me. It's like, no, you get rid of it, or I don't come over here and do your oil change. I go get mine done. You know, if you're going to do it here, I don't need you leaving a can. It was the last one I got rid of. Luckily, I had a dumpster here, and we very probably illegally or at least, environmentalist screaming, you know, we just threw it in the dumpster. big 5 gallon jug. But, I told him, I says, if you're going to do your oil changes here, you better have a way to get rid of that oil, because I don't want it here. And so now if I have something like this, you know, an occasional oil change, you know, if you could, you know, mix it in, you know, a little, you know, just figure mix a half gallon in with 5 gallons of, you know, diesel or something like that, you know, after you send it through some filters, you know, just pour it in through a filter to get any crap out. I saw some guys doing that, and the units stay pretty clean. They don't gunk up or anything like that. So you just got to be careful not to you know, overdo it. But good way to get rid of an oil change or two.
Yeah, as long as I got one guy that works for us. That's all he does is work on those silly things. He's about our age, and he's been doing it for a long, long time. And that's all he does is works on those. And he keeps telling me, he says, "Yeah," he says, I'm glad I'm near retirement. So, because they aren't what they used to be, but they were, dude. I'm telling you what, in their heyday, oh my gosh. So, and nobody ever cared about the price. Because, you know, some of these garages were getting, you know, $6,000-$7,000 oil bills or heat bills, and when these things were burning, they were nothing. So, matter of fact, I remember one shop 50 years ago, things were in its heyday, the gas company showed up at the guy's place of dealership, big dealership down near Ann Arbor, not quite in Ann Arbor, but down there, and the gas company showed up to put a new gas meter on because they didn't believe it. So, That's how cool they were, but like I said, not anymore. But BTUs, how much does this thing burn an hour? Back to the weight, back to your little diesel heater.
So they, you know, there's a lot. These are Chinese knockoffs of the famous, is it Webasto or Webasco ones that were used in semis to keep the cab warm while when they were, you know. You know, I guess it's a great design. The patent ran out, and of course the Chinese jumped all over it, and now they're producing them in mass. And with that comes a variety of quality and a variety of claims and stuff like that. Mostly there's, you know, they're either 5 or 8K, and somebody says there's none of them that are 8K. You know, they're all more like about 4K. But then there's things you can do, you know, to, you know, improve them and this, that, and the other. But you can get them to 5K, which I think works out to 17,000 BTU, I think that it is. And the 8K is supposedly like 26 or something, 1,000 BTU. But so somewhere between, let's just say between 15 and 30,000 BTU. The one I got should be in and around 15 to 17,000 BTU.
Well, if that's true, and when they rate them on the total, not what you're getting, but the total that's going inside and outside, that means it should go about 6 hours on a gallon of diesel.
Yeah, another place they've become very popular is with campers because they're much quieter and much more efficient. You do have to have a battery. You know, it has to have a little bit of oomph to get the glow plug up, but then after that, it's pretty frugal. And most campers are, you know, their solar systems are enough to keep a battery charged to do them. And then their separate fuel pumps are kind of noisy. They make a knocking noise. But there's whole little videos on how guys are fixing those. There's a whole cottage industry, or I should say, you know, a little group. It's like, you know, some of the stupid stuff we get down rabbit holes on. And just look up these little, you know, 5K diesel heaters. And you'll see video after video of people, you know, doing all sorts of things to them. But anyhow, yeah, so, I, you know, it's $89. I wanted to try it. I got a use for it. And so here we are.
Well, very good. Okay, I'll have fun. Let me know how long it goes on a gallon of diesel. And that's the exact way to figure out what it is. You know, and then, of course, if you want to do, you know, I forget the calculation. How much heat goes in versus how much heat goes out, and I'm sure that, you know, they're not following the 80% rule too. So, you know, and if that's the case, you're cooling it down. So let's say you capture an extra 10. Back to the house story, those old furnaces that are in the houses, those are only like, you know, 50-60% efficient. The ones with those great big huge monster 6-inch chimneys and stuff like that, those weren't very efficient at all. So it's kind of like that. So I like to see how much it burns in an hour, or how long you can get on a gallon. I'm assuming the tank is a gallon.
Yeah, I'll have to check it and see, but I think that's where it is, or right close to that anyhow. Maybe it's in liters and whatever's close, 4 liter, 5 liter. But anyhow, I heard that they'll run 8 hours. So how much is 5 liters with respect to a gallon?
I don't know. Let me ask my artificially intelligent phone.
Oh, Wally, come on. You've been converting BTU to kilowatts and efficiency ratings and power. You've been Johnny on the spot. And the minute I ask you for one, you don't know that one. Oh.
I knew now. Siri says it's 1.32 gallons.
I don't know why I want to say that. That's their 5-liter tanks, and they're getting—they say they're getting 8 hours out of them. The campers that are using them. I could be wrong on many counts on that whole last statement.
Just a second. Let me do a little math here. Comes out to about 28,000 BTUs.
I don't know. What does 5KW convert to? I know they got to convert for that. I thought it was under 20. I thought the 8K was up around 27. So, something's not adding up.
So, 5 kilowatts is 17.1 BTUs. Or 17.1 thousand. Above 17,000.
Right, so a gallon in 8 hours, or whatever you figured out there, means that's what the potential of that diesel was?
Yeah, but you got to remember, that's going inside and outside. That's also your exhaust. Like when we sell our waste oil furnaces, when we used to sell a lot of them, so let's say somebody bought 250,000 BTU, it was kind of a marketing lie. You're not getting 250,000 BTUs, you're losing 50,000 up the chimney. So my guess is these guys are saying the same thing, NAKPP.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that we're getting far, far deeper into the technicalities of it than I care. I just want to tinker with one and see if it makes my toes deep.
Oh, I'm sure it will. You know, have a good time with it. Like I said, I'd like to put one in the garage too, but, you know, heck, if it's only 17,000 frickin' BTUs, I can see how that could heat on a mild day. You know, let's say 40-degree night, oh, it could heat a camper or something of that nature. I don't think it's going to do a camper, you know, if you decided to go camping and it was 20 degrees outside. But, hey, you know, if it's that efficient and it works that night, I think that's pretty good. So just got a snow advice for New Baltimore between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. A quick inch of accumulation is possible.
Yuppers. Well, I don't know, but they are definitely using them for campers, you know, small campers, obviously. They're not using them for big campers or anything, but, you know, small campers, you know, like these eggshell campers or whatever they are, you know, they're using these. They're quieter and more efficient than the propane ones, apparently, is what they're claiming. I gotta look for my shop here. I am in the complex where I have to go. So I'm gonna pay attention to you back out here in a moment. So we later.
NAKPP, getting kind of noisy there. All right, later, bud. Bye.
88RUH. Good afternoon, Anthony. What's shaking?
Not much. Just heading out to grab a beer, so hopped in the car, figured I'd call out, see if anybody was out and about this afternoon.
Yeah, it's been a bunch of running around for me today. Just little odds and ends. And all good. Getting ready for anticipating a little bit of a storm, so I got some, made sure I had some salt and all that stuff and washer fluid and just stuff. Went to Tractor Supply, went to Menards, just coming back from Washington Township. I bought something off the marketplace, so anyhow, just a lot of running around. It's all good.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a little bit of snowflakes happening here. The sidewalk's starting to get covered, so we'll see what happens. I think they dialed it back from what they originally thought we were going to get, down to like 1 to 2 inches, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Yeah, I wasn't really paying attention. I just heard bad weather's coming. And so I didn't know what the details were on that. Now it's been downgraded. Anywho, I'm going to order myself a drink here from Sonic. It's happy hour.
Very cool. I'll let you order and call back. I'm like 3 minutes from my destination, so maybe I'll talk to you, maybe I won't. K8RUH.
I don't know if you were ever tuned in when I was crabbing about the diet limeades from Sonic.
No, I haven't been. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or did they raise the price on you? What do you got on those limeades?
Well, it's kind of go-to for me. I don't get too many this time of year, but I'm particularly thirsty right now. But they got that great big 44-ouncer. If you're so inclined. But I like it because, you know, zero calorie, right? And they're pretty good. They got the diet lime weed, they got diet cherry. And for the longest time, I'd pull up, and it didn't matter what I did. I could say, I want the regular limeade, not the cherry, right? Regular lime. Oh, yeah, regular. And every time they hand me a cherry, it never fails. And I haven't been there since the summer, and I just got a hankering for one, and I'm right by a Sonic. So I go up there and I order one, and she says, okay, so that'll be a diet cherry limeade. I go, no. It's like, I don't know what it is. They just cannot, you know, I don't know what it is. They just cannot understand when you say limeade that it's not a cherry limeade. It's clearly on their menu, and they can clearly do it. But anyhow, the only reason I bring it up is you probably remember in the summer me just, you know, people that were listening, I was just frustrated as hell because it happened to me every time. So most of the time I just say, this isn't what I ordered, but half the time I would just take it because the cherry's okay too. Just a little, it tastes a little sweet to me.
That's pretty funny.
I say, come pulling in here. And this is even a different one than I normally do, and they do the same damn thing. So, but anywho, so I'm getting me a, oh, and from 2 to 4, all their drinks are half off, so you can get the big 44-ouncer. For $2.
Nice. Hey, Sean, I just reached my destination. I'm going to head in, and I will catch up with you later. K-E-8-R-U-H, I'll be clear on your final.
All right, have fun. Sounds like good times. W-N-F-U.
I'm back for a couple minutes, heading towards the office.
Why do you got to go into the office on Saturday?
Because my retired wife has got this business where she cleans offices and houses, and I go and let her in and try to hide from her so I don't have to help. And she's got this little sidekick that she's had for probably the last 4 or 5 years, and I don't know. I think she knew somebody that got her into this one company.
Well, you shouldn't have to help. That's why you're paying them. I know there could be a guilt factor since you worked with her, but not no more. They're just a hired help.
I know. She said she used to like you.
You gotta let people do what they excel at.
Yeah, I'll probably mop the floor for her. That's what I do. She does all the cleaning and everything else, like the vacuums and everything else, and I'll just mop it. But I figured out how to make that easy. So believe it or not, old school big bucket, one of those old ready mops. I tried all sorts of stuff, and that seemed to be the easiest and nicest way.
Is she giving you a cut of the pay, man?
Yeah, she does my laundry.
Well, then. See, you didn't have, I didn't have all the required information.
Yeah, she doesn't do socks. She's got a case of the laryngitis, so you can... she's over here barking, but she's not barking like she usually does, so you can't hear her. So, she lost her voice a couple days ago, and it hasn't come back yet. She feels fine, just can't talk. So... and in some realms, it's kind of like the perfect relationship.
Well, I remember you said that you like it better when you can't hear yapping.
Oh, I felt the bus. Beep, 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 beep.
Hoping the volume was up and she was within an earshot of that one.
Oh, she's sitting right next to me. We're in the truck heading towards the office. She hears everything. Just can't say anything.
Roger. All right, anyhow, I'm just busting your chops. Or hers? I don't know. Whose chops am I busting? So, sounds like fun.
It is. And you're an equal opportunity chop buster. So, very good. Hey, Paul showed up at our meeting last night. That was kind of nice. That worked out well. And other than that, not too awful much. I got to get out of here, and let's see here. They said they talked to you about the repeater. We talked about that, so all is good there. So other than that, dude, I got to go. I'm on the final approach, and I can see the building in my line of sight. So talk to you later. WNFU and ATPP.
Okay. You kids have fun. Catch you later. WNFU.
A-F-A-D-C Zulu.
Well, I did not get the call, something KF-8 something, so you'll have to work with me on that. W-8-F-U, name here, Sean.
Good afternoon, Sean. My name is Tom, and my new call sign is KF-8-B-C Zulu. I was a technician about, I don't know, 20 years ago, and then I kind of dropped the ball with it, let it lapse, went back beyond 12 years, took the test again, got a general, and now I got a new call sign that is very difficult to repeat.
Yeah, so I got the KF-8 part down, and I think it's KF-8Z. But you're going to have to give me those last three again because it was a little crackly there. You were a little broken and that. But that can come with next transmission or two. So what caused it to lapse? Just loss of interest? When were you first licensed? And, you know, and was it around here? Would I have known you from your previous? I took a sabbatical from radio. Never let my license lapse, but I took some time off. And then re-got into it, you know, got back into it. So, yeah, I'm just curious when and what I've known you from then and, you know, and what caused you to take the time off and what caused you to get back in. All questions and more if you stay tuned.
Well, I'm going mobile right now. Maybe I'm coming in a little later now. Yeah, I was, God, it was back in 2003, I think, when I got my license done. I was KCHOTV. Out of Lapeer, I was basically on the 2 meter band most of the time in the Lapeer area. I didn't even have a 440 rig. I just had a ICOM 2700H, 2800H, I can't remember. But radio changed a lot. I think this receiver kind of jumped all the way up and down the state. Or, you know, they kind of all hooked together, and I'm not exactly sure how that works, but like they say, get your license and learn how to do it. KFA Delta Charlie Zulu.
Ah, now I got it. Delta Charlie Zulu. Got it. Got it. I can't think of anything that'll cause me to remember that. I'll try to say it enough times to where I will, but yeah, so beyond link, I probably wouldn't have known you from the previous license, because that was my downtime. I wasn't on the air then, and I wasn't on the air, I wasn't really, I'm down here in southeast, so I'm in the Warren area, so I would have known Hams from the Upper East Side, southeast Michigan. Either way, so not too many from up that way. Few select people I talk to on HF and stuff, but mostly people this way. So there you go. What repeater are you on? I'm guessing you're maybe, if you're, I don't even know. I mean, are you still in the Lapeer area? And if that's the case, I'm guessing you're on, I don't even know which one you'd be on. I am on the KFDI Warren repeater in Warren, and there's four FBI repeaters linked up down here, and then we're connected up to the Central Michigan network, which is, you know, 8-10 repeaters in the network. So curious which one you're working now.
Well, that's a very good question. I think that I'm in Frankenmuth. I live in Frankenmuth. And I, like I said, I just got my license about a month ago, and I bought a inexpensive radio and downloaded the CHIRP program and just picked a bunch of repeaters that were close to me, downloaded them in, and it looks like I'm on the 448775, but I don't know if that means anything. I don't know exactly where. I think it's located in Frankenmuth. KFA, Delta Charlie Zulu. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's one of the CMN repeaters. I think, I'm not sure if that's KB8SWR, probably. I don't know what the call of the repeater up there is. The known as the 443-775, the frequency that's probably showing in your display now, 448 would be where you'd talk in. But, yeah, okay. So, well, you're a little popcorn-y, and, I miss a syllable here or there, but for the most part, you're doing okay. Which radio did you get?
Well, I got two of them. The one I'm using right now is called the Anytone 778UV or something like that. It's 35 watts. I did get the ICOM, the one that, the dual band ICOM, the 50 watter. I haven't installed that yet, but that one, one of them I'm going to put as a base, I think. I'm not sure which one. I want to put a base 2 meter and put a vertical up, because I'm interested to see if I hear anybody that I used to hear off the Lapeer repeater. Hard saying. I think things are changing so quick that people pick up the hobby and then drop it like we did.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. 27 degrees.
Well, I never really dropped. I just took a break. But I guess that's 6 1 half dozen another, right? So the 778 is a great radio. I have the handheld version of that. It's one of my favorite handhelds, and I have got a lot of radios. So, I don't have a 5100, but I have a 51 handheld. And if it were me, I'd probably put the 5100 in the base, in home as a base. You may be able to make the D-Star repeater that the Lapeer Club, I think, has one. I think the DXA repeater. I'm not sure, but there's just no infrastructure for D-Star. So to put that in your car, you're kind of robbing yourself of a lot. Meanwhile, that Anytone is a good radio, and there's a lot of DMR all over the state, so you'll get a lot of use out of that. So, now if you want to do the DMR from house, you have to make that decision. Maybe you get, active. But if it were me, I'd probably go with the Anytone in the car and the ICOM in the house, just because you're not going to have a lot of infrastructure to support the D-Star part of it. You'd have plenty to do the DMR, so that's my two cents.
Yeah, that's probably a good advice, and I may do that. At least start off that way. Have you ever tried to communicate with the International Space Station or satellite with 2 meter?
I have not, but let me say you have come to the right place. I don't know if you're familiar with Captain Don. I don't know if you've seen any of his videos, but he is somewhat regular here.
I haven't seen any of his videos. Like I said, I think this is probably the first time I've been even on the repeaters down here. I bought the radio around Christmas time, but I didn't get my license until about, January 6th or 7th. And then I went to Florida, and I just got back yesterday, so I wasn't able to use it legally and didn't have a call sign anyway, so I just waited till I got back. And mostly just kind of listened to see which repeaters were active. KFATC Zulu.
All right. Well, anyhow, to go further, a little further on your question there, I'm not the guy to ask. I don't know a lot about talking to ISS, but there's a guy on here pretty regular. He has become kind of a go-to for getting going on that exact stuff. He has an all-star room called Captain Don Space Camp or something like that. He has a chat, and he's got a lot of videos. So if you want to know about that, like I said, his call is W8CPT, like Captain CPT. So, and he actually is a captain, so that's why it's not a handle, it's a title. but get out here and look for W8CPT, and he can answer just any question you want, or start by looking him up online and YouTube, and hell, you might get your questions answered there.
I have watched a few videos on it, not a lot of them, because basically I've been studying to get my extra license, and I'm going to take that next Tuesday, I think it is, so that I can get a vanity call, and then I can maybe shorten up my letters a little bit and open up the band, even though I haven't really done a whole lot of HF DXing. I'm going to be giving it a try. I just ordered a radio, waiting for it to come over on the boat. Kind of interested in trying that. Making antennas. It sounds like fun to me. Although, I don't like the weather to make antennas. It sure is cold here.
Well, I'll have you note that the worse the weather, the better the antenna. It's a law of nature or something. It's a principle of physics. It's a reality of the universe. The worse the weather, the better the antenna. So I've been waiting for it to get a little bit worse. I noticed the snow is starting to fly, and I've got to tune my wire, so it might be perfect timing to get out there and monkey with my antenna. But all kidding aside, that's another thing, too. A lot of guys out here into making antennas and doing all sorts of stuff and whatnot. One thing I'll say that's changed since you were last in it is there's this thing called All-Star. And all these repeaters are connected together because they're all-star nodes. And that's basically true. It's called apt repeat, and All-Star is a variation of it, and ham VoIP's a variation. But anyhow, if you say All-Star, it'll get you, it'll tell you everything you want to know. But the nice thing about that is you no longer have to be near the radio system. You can run a little personal repeater, if you will, and again, I'm grossly oversimplifying, but you run this little low-power thingy in your dining room or your shack, and then you run around your property with a HT, and you can talk clearly into this system or many other systems, and we got a system called Who Cares. It's a long story how that name came about, but a lot of this stuff you're talking about, making antennas, POTA activations and HF work and All-Star and everything, it's all, very, very actively discussed there. So it's one thing I recommend to people right out of the gate when they get into the hobby. It's like, first thing is stay away from handhelds, focus on mobiles first, and if you can get an All-Star node, it opens up the world to you. Anyhow, I am in sight of my landing strip, so after this one, I'll be able to hear you out and probably be decimated. So, this is W8FU. Again, the name is Sean, and I will make this my final after yours.
Well, thanks for the chat, Sean. I appreciate your feedback and slight updating in the limited time that we had to do so. I enjoyed talking to you, and thank you very much. This is KF8, DC Zulu, 73.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, snow, 25 degrees.
KF8BOT listening.
N8CLH.
W8WWP.
N8CLH is monitoring.
Good evening, 1800 hours, 25 degrees. Good evening, 1900 hours, 25 degrees.
KE8RUH.
Kilo Foxtrot 8 Delta India Zulu testing.
Thank you.
NADBF.
If you're looking for something to take the kids to, the Lake St. Clair is a parking lot right now up here in New Haven. Check that for Haven.
You guys getting iced out?
No, we're watching them. They're racing backwards. I mean, it's like a big party. There's a big fire out there. I mean, this is, like, kind of wild. I'm not going out there, but it's kind of cool to watch.
What's the occasion?
The lake is frozen enough that it can support cars.
Jesus. No, thank you.
I'm just saying you got to come up here and look. You know, bring the kids. Don't go there, but it's unbelievable.
How many people do you think are out there? And you said they got a fire on ice?
Yeah, pretty big bonfire. I'm going to say there's probably 30, 40 cars parked out there right now.
I'll keep an eye on the news in the morning.
Yeah, there you go. It's NAP, by the way.
Yeah, I thought so. Do you live up that way, then?
I live in New Baltimore. We went to Bayside for dinner, her and I did, and I told her, look, those cars are driving across the ice, and I had to prove her wrong, because, you know, that always gets you brownie points.
I know, right? We're always right, and we just have to explain to them that we're always right.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. She didn't say she was wrong. She said I was right. There's a qualifier there.
It's all about how it's worded.
There you go. If you're looking for something to do, I mean, like I said, you probably don't want to drive out here, but it is kind of cool to see. And my guess is they're probably going to have that big festival sometime in February out here like they usually do, because, I mean, this fire is probably 4 foot tall.
We're northbound with three sleepy little kids. I got a 1, 3, and a 4-year-old, so they're going to bed. But did you post anything in Telegram?
No, but I'll snap a picture. That's a good idea. I'll do that right now.
Yeah, I want to see that. NADDF.
Yeah, well, like I said, bring the youngins out here during the day. You know, don't drive out there. I wouldn't advise that, but, you know, it is something to see. I mean, I'll bet you they're a mile.
Yeah, if we're ever out that way, I'll swing by the lake. I haven't been over there in a minute. When we lived in Armada, it was, you know, not too far away, but now we're in Elmont, so it's quite a hike.
Yeah. Well, this is the best view of it is the Fairhaven DNR, and that's where they're driving on.
If that's the launch I'm thinking of, I used to treat those canals right next to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of canals here. There really is a lot. So, oh yeah, there's a lot of drag racing going on out there, too.
Good evening.
How thick do you think that ice is?
100 hours. Fleet.
I'll bet you it's a foot.
4 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be pretty darn thick to hold that many vehicles and people and a fire.
Oh, yeah. So they're out there having a good old time. So this one guy's got his truck all lit up like a Christmas tree. He's basically wrapped it in Christmas lights.
So are you at a restaurant? You live? I'm confused. Are you parked somewhere just watching?
We live in New Baltimore. We headed north up M29 from the lake, place called Bayside, to have dinner. And we had a window view, and I saw these cars coming across the lake. And, of course, that was the discussion. And I said, look, those cars are crossing the lake. He said, no, they're not. They're on the road. So, of course, you know, me and the testosterone level, I had to prove I was right.
Well, it's not bad, dinner and a show.
Yeah, I got threatened. Don't you dare drive out there.
Just tell her you got four-wheel drive.
Yeah, and I don't think I'd be the heaviest vehicle out there.
That sounds like something guys that drive 3/4 tons and 1 tons would be doing.
Hey.
So if you drive one of those and you're not the heaviest at 8,000 pounds, what do you think it is?
I don't know. There's a couple 1 tons out there. A couple dualies.
I'll stick to my pavement.
Yeah, I remember years and years ago, I've always lived over here far east, I remember years and years ago that they have a summer event, or winter event, I apologize, and they used to do drag racing, and everybody and their brother showed up out here with all sorts of strange vehicles, so. But, yeah, that's Jeff.
You guys getting rain?
No, we were getting fine misty snow, though, here towards the end. Probably got, I don't know, a couple inches of snow. And then it let up, and now it's, like, real, real fine. It could be almost defined as heat.
Yeah, you're probably a few degrees cooler over there. But we're getting, my truck's turning into a popsicle the more I drive and the further north I get.
Yeah, my dash is showing 27.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but I mean, it's like rain.
No, we don't have that, so. Yeah, there's somebody else out there doing donuts. All right, I'm going to snap a few pictures here, so I'll get them posted tonight. There's another drag race. These kids are crazy, man.
All right, sounds good. I'll keep an eye out for them.
Yeah, this fire is probably 10 feet wide, 5 foot tall.
I mean, I'm not a scientist, but how does it not melt the ice?
I don't know. You would think it would fall through, right?
I mean, heat rises, but cold don't. So, yeah, you would think 12 inches and, you know, some burning wood would make quick work of that ice, but I guess not. Or, like I said, keep an eye on the news in the morning.
Yeah, I've seen this done before. So, I don't know, maybe they laid something down between it. So, all right, I'm going to snap some pictures, buddy. I'll talk to you later. NADBF, NAKPB.
Sounds good. NAKPB from NADBF 73.
Lots of crazies out there.
Good evening. 21 hours. Snow. 25 degrees. Good evening. 22 hours. Snow. 24 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours. 23 degrees.